to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Wow, that one takes me back. Little Hellstar. That was Angel of Death off the Remnants of War record. Came back in 1980-something. I think 1986, to be exact. But hey, don't quote me on that. Let me see. If only Gladys was here to help me. Hey, look. Look at that. My memory's good. Yeah, 1986 that came out. So the reason I started the show with Hellstar is I recently saw them at Hell's Heroes, and I've been threatening to do this Hell's Heroes show, but I've been so busy with a lot of other things that it's just got to this week where I could get everything reviewed. So it's going to be a fun show. Not a lot of me. There's going to be a lot of interviews. So I just want to go over Hell's Heroes 8, which is the one I recently saw here about 3 weeks ago. And what an amazing show. A lot of great bands. I really had a good time with that. I hung out with my friends, Dave, Lauren, and Ali. You've heard them all on the show before. But this year was a little bit different. It was very cool. I mean, same thing. The venue where they throw this festival at has an outdoor stage, and they also have an indoor stage. And the beauty about this venue and about this show is they let you come in and out as you want. So if you want to go get a good beer somewhere, or you want to go get some food, or go to your car, whatever, you can leave and come back. So that's the beauty of Hell's Heroes. So if you get the chance to come to Houston, highly recommend this festival. It's a bunch of older school bands and new school bands that have an older sound for the most part. So it's very cool, very cool. So day one, the first band I got there to see was Hellstar. And that's why I wanted to start the show with Hellstar. And I gotta say, they were awesome. And they played Angel of Death for the first time in many, many years. So that's why I wanted to start the show with Angel of Death. Always good seeing those guys. Got to catch up with James a little bit when I was there. I got to get him back on the show. We keep saying that every time I see him. But that's my goal here in 2026, to have James on the show again. And kind of talk a little Hellstar, see what they're up to. And, you know, touring and new records and all that jazz. So we'll catch up with him soon. So anyway, as I mentioned, as you can leave the venue, there's a bar next door called Raven Tower. And a lot of the time, it's just me and my friends. We'll go over there, we'll have some drinks, and then we'll go back. And we'll skip bands that we don't really care about. So, like I said, you've got a lot to choose from. You got shows on the indoor and shows on the outdoor, and they kind of space them back to back to back. When one show ends, another show begins while they do the new stage setup and stuff like that. So the next band I saw was a band that there was a lot of talk about. This band out of Lafayette called Void. I was like, who are these guys? I went and saw them. I'm like, damn, they're really good. So I tell you what, we're going to play some Void. And then I got to talk to a couple of the guys at Raven Tower. So I'm going to pop that in next. So guys, enjoy Void. Let's do this. All right, guys, you're live. Hell's Heroes, 2026. I think this is the eighth one or something like that. I've seen a lot of great bands so far. I've seen Hellstar, Houston Favorite. When I was in fucking high school, these guys came out, and these guys weren't even born yet. I don't know about you. You may have been born. You may have been like three or four. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Ali's here. You've heard Ali before.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm with a band called Void. They're from Lafayette, Louisiana, and they're like next to one of my favorite breweries called Parrish in Broussard.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, you guys look young. I don't know if you can even drink yet. I'm just fucking with you.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you're drinking Lone Star over there. It's the cheapest beer to get at Hell's Heroes, I promise you.
It's a damn good beer.
Fuck yeah, it is. Yeah. But guys, great set. Let the fans out there know a little bit about Void. We're gonna do a full form interview at some point. But I just ran into the guys. We were at this place called Raven Tower. It was right behind White Oak. So, guys, tell me, introduce yourself and tell me about Void.
My name is Chris Browning. I'm the guitar player in Void. We are a vampiric technical thrash metal band. That's really all you need to know. I'm Gabe Lejeune. I cover half of the lead guitar duties after, you know, Chris Browning takes care of the other half. You know, so effortlessly. And, you know, he summed it up. You know, we do technical thrash. We had a fantastic show tonight. The crowd was, the energy was so poignant in the air, you know. It was coming after us and we were going after it. And it was just a fantastic afternoon. And all the bands have been great up until this point. That's all.
My name is Aaron. I cover drums for Void. Man, the show tonight, absolutely fantastic. Just like great crowd. As soon as we started, I wasn't even paying attention to any of the fucking crowd. Up until like the second song, and there are already people fucking crowd surfing. It was awesome. Fucking just great show.
Well, I think it's cool because you're all wearing like old school, like metal shirts, right? You got the Dokken, you got the Maiden, you got the Megadeth. There's a buzz about you. My friend Ali right here said, dude, I'm coming for Void. And then a promoter guy knows, like, I'm going to Void. I'm like, who is Void? No offense, I don't know who you are. I'm like, well, show
me. Come early. You got to see Void. You got to see Void.
I was like, I guess I got to go see Void. I'm over at the brewery right down the thing having a beer. I'm like, well, I guess I got to go. So let me finish this shit up. I'll go. Leather was still on. Leather Leon. She was doing like a Chastain set. So Chastain was okay. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm not sure if you guys are. But the influences show on your charts, Megadeth, Dokken, Iron Maiden, where you have the melody as well as you got the like thrashy stuff. You guys are like more old school thrash. I watch you guys on stage. You got the like white fucking high tops. And you're fucking giving it, right? And I love the twin guitar attack. That's fucking awesome. You did great on drums. And then your vocalist, I forget, I'm so shitty with names. He told me his name. I'm so shitty with, he's got a sword up there. And I thought, I didn't want him to kill anybody. Maybe there's a crowd surfer that's going to get out of control. He's like, well, fuck you, dude.
It's a safety measure. In case they get a little too close, it just gives them a little poke in the back, you know, in the behind.
I do have to say, it was so funny. I mean, the observation, I'm like, he is so fucking tall on stage. And you guys, no offense, you're like, you're my height. You're right. I'm like, it's a fucking giant up there wielding a sword. We're all going to die.
That's exactly what we're pushing at. We're just his minions.
That's what it's got to be.
So, how many years have you guys been around?
Since 2019.
Yeah, have y'all been to Houston before?
Many times. We did Hell's Heroes the past 2 years. We did the after party last year. And then the year before that, we did the after party, kind of, which wasn't even at White Oak. It was at Black Magic.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And so we've kind of climbed the ladder of Hell's Heroes, and we finally gotten through on the main fest this year. And, dude, it's everything that we imagined it would be. Like, the crowd, because we were here every year, even when we weren't playing. And so actually getting to come and do the main fest and even playing the indoor stage downstairs was just the coolest experience, because we know what it feels like to be in the audience watching those bands, and we were always itching. We're like, we're waiting on our turn to do this.
Well, let me ask you this, because you wear like the like Maiden, you wear you're wearing Dokken, which is Megadeth and Maiden kind of go more hand in hand, but Dokken's were a little bit more traditional hard rock, melodic hard rock. I mean, do you guys want to say like, hey, let's do kind of something like a little more traditional, or you want to keep it like more technical, more thrashy?
Oh, we love aggressive and technical, but we also love melodic. I think that's kind of what we try and blend in, to the point where you can't even really notice, wow, there is melody in this very aggressive, intense song. That's what we want to be able to bring to the thrash genre in the modern era, because we think it's missing that, and you know, that's what we want to play. We don't want to play beat down hardcore or, you know, any of the trendy styles of metal. We want to play what we love, and we love doing this style of music.
That's fucking awesome. We're gonna do a long form interview with these guys real quick. You're on the hot seat. Who do you want to see most at Hell's Heroes? Are you here for all 3 days? And if so, what's the band that's like, I gotta fucking see them before you go back to Louisiana?
For me, it was Loudness, but they unfortunately dropped.
Oh, dude, I'm so fucking sad about that. I saw them in 1988. That's the last time I saw them. They played with it was Loudness, H. Freely, Y&T, TNT, Gary Moore, and then Guns N' Roses was supposed to open, but they got too big, and Faster Pussycat filled in.
Wow.
So I'm like, motherfucker. But I saw them on Thunder in the East, and guess who opened up? You'll never guess.
Who's that?
Poison.
Wow.
On, look at the cat dragged in.
Wow.
So now that Loudness off the bill, Sean, what's your band?
I mean, it's cool to see Doro. But my all-time favorite are my buddies in Heraklion who are playing the after party, and I never get tired of seeing them.
Nice.
I would recommend Dirk Schneider. I've seen Udo. He's doing Balls to the Wall, plus an extended set. Yeah. All right, your turn.
Hey, bring on the Voivod.
You're going fucking technical. Yeah. All right.
I gotta go with Heraklion. It's the old school death metal. I'm excited to see them tonight.
Awesome. All right. So we have my friend that wearing an Icon shirt he bought on eBay for
$40. He's got a special name.
Oh, really?
K-Flash.
All right.
You can't address him by any other name.
Lee Flash.
K-Flash.
Oh, K-Flash. K-Flash. So what's your band for Hell's Heroes?
I'm about to go with my boys in Heraklion.
All right.
He didn't even say boy.
No, we have to see this band. Yeah. He didn't say boy. I mean, oh, wow. Oh, unfucking believable. Oh, wow. The table is turned over, people. Beers are like flying.
So, Ragman, you're going to post a photo of all the guys here at this beautiful sunset while you're
doing this. Fuck yeah, we are. And I guarantee no one's holding hands or kissing. Guys, before we let the fans go, Doug Boyd, those guys are really cool, and they kept mentioning this band. I'm gonna butcher the name here, Heraklion. So I just played a song from them called "The Tomb." So yeah, check out The Void. The Heraklion, they were nice too, but I like The Void's music a bit better. I hope good things for those guys, and again, we'll look at doing a long form interview with them in the future. But I'm getting thirsty, Mr. G. Every time. You're right up there. All right. Good. You're doing fine over there. All right. I've got a great beer tonight. This is from a brewery called Freak Folk. And again, I get this from my connection in the Northeast. A great Northeast beer. This one is called... what is it called over here? It's called Yodel. A double IPA. The can art is really cool. It's like a skull of like a, I don't know, it's like a cow with fangs or something. It's very industrial looking. But again, called Yodel. Let's look at this bad boy. Let's try to look for the ABV. Hold on, we got it here. 8.3%. So doubles are usually kind of clock in around 8% or so. So let's look at this bad boy. Pineapple in color. Pineapple juice in color, I mean. Very yellow. No real lacing or head on the glass. Let me do aroma check. Oh, God, it smells rich, creamy, citrusy. Hit me, baby. Oh, fuck yeah. Yum. God, that's really good. One more drink. John hit the horns. Wow, that was great. Oh, wow, that's awesome. So I tell you what, let's go back to Hell's Heroes. And the next band I interviewed was Leather Leone, I think's her name. Her band. And she sang with David Chastain for a bit. And you probably heard me make a few comments in when I talked to the guys from Void. So it's kind of funny. As I was leaving the venue, after I was hanging out with the Void guys, I run into the band of Leather Leone, which is a band called Silver Talent. So I tell you what, we'll play a Leather song, and then after the interview, I'll play a Silver Talent song. I'll give you a little bit of both. So enjoy little Leather Leone, and then we'll talk to her band, see what they say about the show. Let's do it. Leather Leon's band. Who do we have here?
Hi, I'm Devin. I play some guitar and do some backing vocals and heavy fucking metal.
Fucking metal, man.
I'm Bryce. I play guitar.
And then we love drum. Hey.
Hi. I like boobies.
Okay. And he plays drums.
So,
what's up?
What are we doing?
Oh, we're doing a podcast here.
Oh, right.
What do you do in Leather?
Oh, I play bass for Leather. I'm Noah Henley. I play bass for Leather. It's been a fucking blast. Genghis and Ragman show.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. So real quick, guys, how do you think this set went today?
So there's actually no point between the time we
knew that this show was coming up, and all five of us were able to get into a room together. We rehearsed with Leather one time. We rehearsed with Noah. He lives in Salt Lake. We're all out of Portland. We didn't get to do as much rehearsal as we wanted to, but I think it went off pretty fucking well. A lot of fun.
You did a classic Chastain album today, right?
Yeah.
I got kind of a best of the classics. Yeah, it was a great time, though. I feel very fortunate to be part of it.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, are you touring or spot shows or recording or?
I don't know. It kind of, it's up to what Leather wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, she found Bryce through one of her guitar players that needed a fill-in, and so they hired him to fill in for that. I think it was Keep It True would have been the first show, maybe. I don't know. That's a Bryce question. But we've got our own bands. Nick, Bryce, and I, we play in Silver Talon. Noah will fill in sometimes. Yeah, so that's kind of how this all happened. Chastain songs are really fun to play, and I don't know. It was a good experience. We played one show together before already. Soldiers of Steel in Seattle. That would have been what, August, September.
August, yeah,
yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah, and I mean, those songs are fun as shit. That David T. Chastain there really knew his shit, right?
And you remember the T.
So you don't get him confused with all the other David Chastain.
I don't know why I remember
the David C. Chastain. I mean, there's a lot of problems.
Nobody knows that guy. He's there, but
it's fucking awesome. So Silver Talon, you're in Silver Talon.
Yeah.
Do you guys tour a lot? I know the band.
So about 2 weeks before this, we had our last show. We were playing in Austin, Texas, with Mean Mistreater. We just got back from tour, and then it was time to cram for the Leather material.
Oh, wow.
And we've got a Pacific Northwest run coming up here. We're playing with La Cabra April into May. Just a quick little Northwest run. I think we got 6 shows. Bryce, are all those shows coming up, are those all with La Cabra?
Like half of them are with La Cabra. Some of the other ones are with Vanishment. And then Hello Ways, like a Slayer tribute band, and then hopefully a special guest.
So real quick, we'll let y'all go because you're leaving. Like we are probably to see bands here. Is there a band you want us here specifically?
Oh man, well we caught as we were packing up, we got to catch some of Jag Panzer from behind. Nice. That was cool. Really bummed to not hear Loudness.
Me too. That's my biggest.
Yeah, that was kind of a huge bummer, but it's cool that they're moving Dirk Schneider up and then Eternal Champions on it now. So that's cool. I'm really stoked personally to see Virgin Steel on Saturday. It's my birthday, the 21st, catching Virgin Steel that day. And, I mean, there's so many cool bands on this. I don't even know where to start.
How about you, Bryce? Who are you here to see? We'll let y'all go.
Oh, I mean, you know, Doro tonight. I saw Onslaught last night, which was sick. 3 Inches of Blood, you know. All good stuff. So we're only here for the day, so we got to leave tomorrow.
I got you.
I'm the player.
It was a lot of fun meeting the Silver Talon guys. They're backing up Leather Leone. You know, I messed up the name, as you heard. It had been a long day. So after I ran into those guys, I went over to the main stage and saw 3 inches of Blood. They were pretty good, pretty solid. And then another band I really wanted to see was Holmes. Chris Holmes, formerly of Wasp. And he did a documentary a while back, which was very cool. And at that point, he was singing. So I was like, oh, man, I don't know. I mean, no offense, Chris, but, you know, you singing Wasp tunes is not what I'm thinking. I don't need that. But he had a vocalist that sounded uniquely like Blackie Lawless. Actually, better than Blackie Lawless to say. Blackie can't even sing, and apparently he uses a lot of tapes, and he's been busted several times. So they're touring, and I'm not going to go just because I want to see a live show. I don't want to see someone singing to a tape. I don't need that. My money's too valuable to me for that. I saw Wasp back in the day when he could sing, and they were great. But that said, I'm not banging on Wasp a little bit, maybe. But Chris Holmes went out and killed it. What a great show. Very, very cool guy. I actually met him the next day briefly out in the field when Eternal Champions came on in place of Dirk Schneider, who headlined because Loud is canceled. I tell you what, let's play a little bit of classic Wasp, and then I'll round up day one. Again, a great performance by Chris Holmes and his band. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was told, hey, don't judge a book by its cover. And I gotta say, Chris still moved around really well. And when I met him, again, a really nice guy. Really nice guy. I got a picture with him. Took pictures with a lot of my friends, too. So I would love to have him on the show one day. So Chris, if you're listening, hey, reach out. Or I'll reach out to you. Something will happen. We'll make it happen. But the night closed with Doral Pesh. Doral finished out Hell's Heroes performing Triumph in Agony in its entirety. Or most of it. Not all of it, but most of it. Let's just say that. And she did a great job. She was really good. I'd never seen her live. She was like a bucket list artist. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go see her. And it was going to be like a private gig, which would have been so freaking cool, man. But it didn't work out. Things got in the way. People got sick. And let's just say Ragman didn't get to go. But seeing her live finally was very cool. I would love to hear her do... Now, I don't want to hear a whole Warlock set. I like her solo stuff a lot. So it would have been very cool to kind of hear her solo stuff. I would have dug that, but what are you going to do? Basically, I think she didn't even do all of, Triumph and Agony. She kind of did a Warlock tribute set, whatever it is. So it was cool. Very cool. All right, before I end day one, will we play some classic Warlock? Why don't we do I Rule the Ruins off Triumph and Agony? Let's do it. Always cool to hear some Warlock. I Rule the Ruins. Love Doro. Been a fan of hers for years. And like you said, her solo stuff's really great. I like a lot of her stuff. Very cool. So I tell you what, we're going to go to Friday, day two. And then we're going to wrap up. So day two, I'm just going to go over some of the bands that played that day. So inside was Cape of Bats, Battle Ruins, Night of the Vampire, Phantom GDI, Legendary, Power from Hell, Bat, and Devil Master. Okay, I don't know any of these people. But I'm trying to think if I went and saw anybody inside. Shit, I don't think so. Let's go to the main stage on Friday. So, yeah, on Friday, I saw a lot of bands, a lot more bands. I didn't see this band, but there was Spell, Toxic Holocaust, Aura Noir, Voivod, Midnight, Sanctuary, Eternal Champion, and Dirk Schneider. And kind of like I'd mentioned last show, Dirk Schneider moved up because what happened with Loudness dropping off the bill. So Friday, let's do a quick recap of Friday. I'll do the indoor real quick. Cape of Bats, Battle Ruins, Night of the Vampire. I wanted to go see them, but I didn't make it, unfortunately. Phantom, I saw them, and you're about to hear an interview I did with JC, the vocalist. I tell you what, they put on a great show. They're like a bunch of young guys out of Mexico, and they got the heart of like old school, like Slayer, Exodus. A little bit of Testament. It's really cool. It's a very cool sound that they have. And you'll enjoy that. And then let's look at the headliners. Or not headliners, but the main stage that day. Spell, don't know them. Toxic Holocaust, Aura Noir. I saw them. They were okay. Voivod, they were good. Midnight, Sanctuary. I was very impressed with Sanctuary. Let me throw a song in from them. Eternal Champion, they were pretty good. They were described to me as like Manowar. And they got the bill late. And that's actually when I met Chris Holmes. And they didn't have a bass player. And Chris is like, that's kind of fucked up. There's not a bass player up there. I was like, yeah, no shit. I wonder what's going on. It's like, and I told him, I said, they got on the bill late because of Loudness. And all right, that's our conversation. And then the headliner was Dirk Schneider. So I tell you what, let's jump into the interview with Phantom.
Hello, this is JC from Phantom, and you're listening to The Ragman Show. Horns up. We'll be right back.
right, guys, you're on live with Ragman Mono E Mono once again, covering Hell's Heroes. And I found a new band today, and I'm very impressed with them. They're called Phantom, all the way from Mexico, or some will say Mexico.
Hell yeah.
I'm talking to JC from Phantom. Hey, welcome to the Ragman Show, man.
Thank you for the space. Thank you for inviting me.
And congratulations on a great set. You guys are heavy as fuck. I'm just going to put that out there. So it's not for the faint of heart. It's not Poison. It's Phantom. It's super heavy.
Hell yeah.
Let me ask you, what are some of your influences? I want to say kind of old school Metallica, Testament, Slayer, a little bit of everything, kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, we're, well, our main root for everything is like old school heavy metal and old school speed and thrash. Like you mentioned, yeah, Metallica, Testament, Slayer, Racer, Infernal Majesty, Merciless, Morbid Saint, Venom, that kind of stuff, like just 80s old school
heavy shit. Yeah, and I hear that. The thing I love about your band is you're brutal, really heavy, but you have these breakdowns, usually right before the solo, that are so cool and melodic and remind me, kind of bring me back to some of those cool riffs from the 80s with some of those powerful bands I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting points in heavy metal is like having good dynamics in the songs, and we try to write songs that have, well, good dynamics and a lot of different sections and stuff. You can be heavy, but you also need to add something more interesting, you know?
Yeah, and I love that because you bring in a little bit of, I'll call it, it's not super melodic, but it's a melody of some sort. And
yeah,
it gets,
exactly.
You get these cool riffs. I'm like, fuck yeah, I love that, man. That's really awesome, man. So I love the way you guys structure songs. How does the band actually write songs? What do you all get in the same room? Do you send ideas to each other? I'm really curious because you're a younger band. The old bands would either write, come stuff in, and work out in the studio, but times are different now. So how do you guys do it?
It's kind of a funny thing because Phantom really is more kind of a solo project in some way. I write most of the songs. RL, the other guitarist, has helped me out with some stuff, but it's mostly myself. I get down and I work on the riffs first, then the bass lines, then the vocals and the lyrics, and then I go alone in the studio and record all the instruments, or sometimes I get like, okay, I'm gonna teach you a song and you just record your take.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So how do you decide if he's gonna play a solo or if you're gonna do a solo?
It depends on who sounds better playing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a random thing. I don't think we give it much thought. I don't know how to say that in English.
Please. Stop.
Yeah.
But, no, all good, man.
Yeah.
All good. Well, I'm kind of curious. You guys got a brand new record coming out. Not out yet. It's called Not Midnight Yet. And you guys played a new song today about Dracula.
Yeah.
Dracula's Curse, by the way. I love it. It's thrashy. Again, I mentioned the tasteful breakdown before the solo. I love how you guys do that. And you have a really cool video. I like how you guys are doing videos with a lot of the songs so people can see you. And you have a sense of humor about it, too.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that song, how it came together, and the concept behind the video.
Well, we're kind of a Castlevania fanatic band. We love that game. And most of our lyrics are inspired by... yeah, the Castlevania games and also other like vampire stuff from Romania and that area, and we love that kind of weird stories. And Dracula's Curse is based on the name of, well, the third Castlevania game, and mm-hmm. But the song is about Vlad the Impaler, the guy from Romania, as Dracula, like the original Dracula, and like it's about vampires and immortal life. Like it's supposed to be like a speed metal sad song about this guy's immortal, he cannot die. That should be sad as shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And the video, yeah, we try to make our videos look serious in some way, but if you really pay attention to them, they have some funny background. Like it's either dark humor or just ridiculous stuff on purpose, because it's, I don't know, it's just fun. So, yeah.
No, I tell you what, a guy like myself, if I see that, I remember you. I'm like, oh shit, let me check out more what they do in this other video. And we have the one with the witches and the incantation, yeah, the woods, just, and there's sword fighting. And
it's supposed to be all goofy, you know? Like, yeah. It looks like super serious in the video, but we just go home and laugh about it. It's
that's awesome. Does the band come up with that, or do you have like a director that says, hey, this is what we should do? I'm sure you put your input in, but
no, we decide all of that. We're very DIY. We do not have like any managements or stuff. We just work with our label, Iroll Records.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
But that's it. We have like full freedom creatively, and yeah, that's something we're very comfortable with.
Yeah. So I gotta tell you, this, you mentioned this in the show, this was your first gig in the U.S. Hell's Heroes, what a great, great first gig. You know what I'm saying?
It was insane. We couldn't be happier, you know. It's been very challenging to get here because accessing the U.S. as a band from Mexico, it's really, really hard. I don't know if I should. I shouldn't say anything about this, but it was just very challenging to get here. We are not carrying any instruments. Fortunately, our friends from Void let us borrow their stuff. We're not here with our drummer. We have a guy named Max from all the way from Florida. He's a kid. He's like 17 years old.
He was really good, man.
And it was his first ever like big gig too. So wow. It's just a lot of crazy first times, you know. I think it was a perfect place. It was a perfect gig. Everything went smoothly. The crowd went nuts. So we're happy.
That pit looked insane too. I'm an old guy. I'm gonna be upstairs. Fuck that. I can't do that anymore. But that's gotta really get you guys inspired while you're playing. Like, holy shit, they get it and they're going freaking nuts right now.
Yeah, that makes us very happy. If we see the crowd is going that way, we start playing faster. We start playing more insane. So yeah, it's like a reciprocate thing.
Did you happen to see the guy that was crowd surfing and he fell on the ground? I guess so. He slipped. He fell straight to the ground.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of crazy skankers and stage divers, but I didn't notice that. That's crazy.
Well, I you know, back to your point real quick about coming to the U.S. and trying to tour and stuff like that. There's a lot of, I mean, Loudness couldn't get visas, but that happens every time they try to come to the U.S. So they're a bad case for sure. But I think Aura Duard talked about their bags getting lost. We just talked to Udo Dirk Schneider, his bags are lost. Was it pretty challenging to get in? Or I know there's been some tensions with the U.S. and Mexico because of our president, but we won't get political on the show, but I gotta imagine it's a lot more challenging to get here than it was a year ago.
Yeah, it was mostly the visa stuff. We only have tourist visas. So that was challenging, and also the whole tour thing. I mean, with our drummer, we thought we were screwed, but fortunately we found Max, and this guy saved us, and his parents saved us. They're touring with us. His parents are touring with us. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
And they got a van for us. We are broken. We were like, oh my God, how are we gonna move those huge distances in America? And these guys are our saviors, man. We're very, very thankful with them, and it's gonna be a challenge. We'll see how it goes. Well, it's the first day, first gig, but yeah. I bet it will be a good run, and we're gonna go like maniacs and road warriors. Yeah,
that's awesome because you got a tour starting with Void, right?
Yeah.
How many dates is that? How long will you actually be here, being able to play music for the people?
We're gonna be here like 21 days. I forgot the number of dates. It's like 10 shows or something.
Yeah,
12 shows. I'm not really sure. I forgot. But yeah, we're very excited. We have been talking with Void about this since like 2022 or something like that, and just dreaming about it. And it's finally here. So it's kind of crazy. We never thought it was gonna happen.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And congratulations on your first gig in the U.S. We're honored to have you here in Houston. Before we let you go, I just want to ask you again, tell us a little bit about the new record, when it's coming out, and what we can expect.
Sure. Not midnight yet. It's coming out this June, around June 26. I think it's the best Phantom record yet. I know that's the generic answer when everyone gets asked about their new records. Oh, this is our best record and something. I generally think this is the best Phantom record yet. Like, it feels more mature, and it feels like we have more development in a lot of areas that we were like just identifying. I think I like that people notice the evolution of
of our sound and stuff, it sounds more like us instead of just a bunch of influences thrown together. And we're really happy and excited about it. We hope you maniacs are going to like it.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear it. I do have to ask you before I let you go, who is Count Wilbur? I'm a little confused about that.
Count Wilbur is our mascot, our vampire skeleton funny guy. He's just the face of the band, like, I don't know, like Big Rattlehead is for Megadeth or Eddie's for Iron Man, and we going through all that old school stuff, we said, like, you know what, we gotta get a mascot. The mascot started it all. Like, Wilbur was there before we even had, like, the van logo, you know? Oh, wow. It was just my drawings, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna use this for something, and it became the face of the band.
That's awesome. Well, JC, before we let you go, what do you want to tell the fans out there?
Live for metal, die for metal, and keep thrashing, maniacs.
Well, JC, we want to thank you for coming on the Ragman Show. We want to tell all the fans to check out Phantom in your town. You check out their music. These guys rock. I mean, they're heavy as fuck. But they do have that good, fucking cool little melodies and riffs that just get ingrained in your brain. But before we let you go, Dust, JC, and I are going to do something very special for you.
Poison!
Sanctuary, and that one's called Not of the Living. So after I talked to Phantom and met the guys in Silver Talon, I went over to check out Sanctuary, and man, they rocked. I didn't know how they'd work, you know, well, without World Dane. I didn't really know that they were still that active, but that was a new song. I really dug it, and they did a great job live, man. I was like, damn, I want to check this band out more because they did such a great job. Really good show. So the headliner, the big one for me that night, was Dirk Schneider doing Balls to the Wall in its entirety. Again, you know, Loudness was on the bill. They couldn't make it, so we're not going to beat that dead horse. But before Dirk Schneider came on, he invited Ragman to come and have a quick chat. Here's our last interview from day two. We're going to do a day three show. It's going to be pretty quick because there's a long form interview there with Tankard. So you'll hear that next show. Guys, Hell's Heroes 1 and 2, amazing. Hope you enjoy all the interviews. And I know you're going to love this one with Dirk Schneider and his son Sven. Super cool guys, both of them. We've talked to Udo several times in the past, but it was nice to meet his son this time. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening every week. I hope you enjoyed this Hell's Heroes recap, day one and two. And I hope you will wait for bated breath for day three coming up next week. Before I let you go, thanks for listening every week. Thanks for your comments when you send them. Before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big hose up.
Hello, this is Udo Dirk Schneider. You listen to the Ragman Show on Drop. In the night of the day I was born, but you, I wouldn't see that tomorrow.
All right, guys, joined live with Ragman. Mono e mono. Well, not mono. There's quadruple here at the table. I'm talking to a metal legend. We've talked to him in the past. I'm so honored to actually meet you in person.
Okay.
We're talking to Udo Dirkschneider. Udo, welcome to the Ragman Show. Or welcome back.
Yeah, well, it's good to do a show in America, but yeah, hopefully we can come over one day doing a tour here.
It would be great. I was telling Sven, I saw you last time you were here on your last Udio tour.
You would do your tour?
Yes.
Oh,
2024. Yeah.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's interesting because my wife, I took her to the show, and unfortunately, Sven and I were talking. Unfortunately, I don't think the booking and everything or the promotions and stuff for that show were the greatest. And she was like, "Where are all the people?" And it was like a Wednesday night or something like that. I'm so excited for her to come to Hell's Heroes to see you tonight and see what you deserve as far as a huge crowd singing along, screaming balls
hopefully,
to the wall
with
you tonight.
We will see.
Yes, yes.
We wake them up.
Yes. Well, we actually, it was funny because we saw Saxon in a club and it was pretty crowded. But then we saw them at Hell's Heroes last year and she's like, "Oh my God, this is so different from a small House of Blues to the Hell's Heroes Festival."
Yeah.
To see that, the crowd going nuts, I can't wait for her to see that tonight.
We're also looking forward for the show tonight.
So you're touring under Dirkschneider, or at least this show is under Dirkschneider. Can you kind of explain the difference between Udio and Dirkschneider?
Very easy. With Dirkschneider, we play only accept songs. With Udio, we don't play accept songs, we play only Udio songs. So, I mean, this tour is already goes, if we are finished, nearly over 2 years. And it was not planned that we are going that long on Dirkschneider tour, but people want it, give the people what they want.
Yes.
And I mean, people enjoyed it. We had nearly sold out European tour. And everything looked very good. And also the whole summer, we're doing also some clubs in between. Unbelievable. So, I mean, if we really want, we can go continue with Dirkschneider. But, I mean, no, we are just finished with a new UDO album.
Awesome.
Finished with recording, everything. And the tour is already completed for next year, UDO tour, yeah. So we start in January and the new UDO album is coming out. We're looking also forward to do UDO again. I mean, this is the 20th UDO album. Unbelievable.
Well, that's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Quite a lot of stuff. But it's always getting harder and harder, you know, to make a set list.
Mm-hmm.
It's also with except, okay, we played the whole Balls to the Wall album completely. And we put some classic stuff around. And this is in a way easier than to make a set list for UDO, you know. Really hard. But anyway, so here we go now with Dirkschneider.
Well, as far as you're playing Balsa Waltz in its entirety tonight, when did you guys start doing that? Is this one of the first dates, or did you do this in Europe already?
Well, we started with that in 2025.
Oh.
Yeah, we did it pretty much beginning of the year. We went out in Europe. That was the first time we did that. And the feedback from the people is amazing. To listen to that iconic album in full from A to Z, it's great. And it's such a great album to play because there's no filler song on it.
Yeah, no.
Each and every single song is great on its own. And to play it in its original, order, it's great.
Yeah.
When you decided to do Balls to the Wall in its entirety, were you kind of excited? Were there songs you had never played before? Live?
Yeah, there was.
I think Losing
Guardian,
More Than You've Ever Had. Was
Guardian
ever,
of a Night.
Yeah. Oh my God, and that's so funny. Those are two songs. I told you, I'm so excited to hear tonight.
And which one else?
I think we never really played Turn Me On live. I think we had it in a set list once.
Yeah, but
then
we didn't play that live with this lineup. Yeah.
And these are exactly like the two songs, Losing More and Guardian of the Night, are for us the most fun songs to play from that record. It's really, really good songs, and you can really feel the energy from the crowd as well. And there are so many people singing word for word. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's got to, they get, like you said, it's got to be fresh because you've been playing these in a very, well, for yourself, in a very, very long time.
Oh,
and for you, Sven, you know, you're like, whoa, Dad, this song worked.
Well, I mean, we even did a Balls to the Wall re-recording. So we recorded the album in full with guest singers on it. So for me, it was a huge honor to be able to put my touches on that album as well. And I recorded it with Stefan Kaufmann, who played it originally back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a great honor that he said, yeah, that's good, we can take it, because I was super nervous. I was like, oh God, what is he going to say? Even though I played most of the songs, I mean, I've been in the band since 11 years now, and I played most of these songs live a million times, and I was still super nervous when I hit the studio on what he's going
to
say.
Yeah, but to re-record the Balls to the Wall album is like the holy cow, you know, it is. So that was like, I was not really quite sure. But then we said, okay, we do it, but then with guest singers. So give them the whole thing a new touch. And so the result and
was great. It ended up with so many great versions. We had Dee Snider singing Losers and Winners. We had Miller from Creator singing Fight It Back. We had Doro on Winter Dreams.
Biff on London
Leather Boys. We
Sabaton.
Had Sabaton, Joachim Broden sang Balls to the Wall. We had some younger people, Niels Molin from Amaranth and Dynasty. He sang Head Over Heels. Oh, yeah. So there's like a whole lot of variety. And then we had Michael Kiske singing Losing More Than You've Ever Had.
Yeah.
A beautiful version that he came up with. And that gave the whole
Ripper Owens was Guardian of the Night.
it's such a great new fresh version of it, and I think we were pretty amazed by the results. And we had to do it in such a short time. But it was great. It was a great experience. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I gotta say, Doro played last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this could be a spoiler alert. Is there any chance she could join you on stage tonight?
Yeah. But she's already
I think
gone.
They're doing something gone. Else today. Yeah, I think they flew to New Jersey to do like a VIP
experience like
or
that.
Something like that. So she's not there anymore.
Oh, that would have been so cool. Because I had pop in my head today.
Yeah, she came on. She came on stage in Wacken, right?
Yeah, we did
Winter Dreams together. Great.
Well, I know you guys have heard about the cancellation of Loudness, which has extended your set on the fly. I don't know if you found out, probably when I did a day or two ago. You're like, oh shit, we gotta. You already know how to play these songs, but I guess you scramble to do a little bit of a different set list, or do you like?
Let's say it was not so easy now that we have to play 90 minutes instead of 60. But I mean, we played this song so many times now, so this is easy, in a way easy. Of course, everybody's a little bit nervous. We didn't play the
last time was in January. The few shows we did in Germany and Sweden.
Without rehearsing and stuff like that, but.
You got this.
Yeah,
exactly. So do you do a lot of rehearsing prior to coming over, or you're like, let's go through it?
To be very honest, like we always say, rehearsals are for the week, so we never rehearse.
I love that.
Unless we have a whole new set list, obviously, then we lock ourselves into the rehearsal room. But other than that, we basically just come together and play.
That's awesome. Good deal. Udo, one other thing I just want to mention, you sound great. Amazing vocally still after all these years. I don't know how you keep your voice in shape or if you struggle at times or what it is, but you got the fountain of youth in your voice.
I do nothing. I think I'm really lucky with my voice, you know. I mean, okay, the only thing I have stopped is 22 years ago smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped this, but I don't do anything. I never warm up when I go on stage.
Oh, wow.
I do just one shout, and that's it. And then here we go. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really lucky. I mean, I know a lot of colleagues, you know, they have some problems, you know, they're doing.
And I can tell you from a younger perspective that we all, when we go out on tour, we play sometimes 5 to 6 shows in a row.
Yeah.
Because he hates off days,
mm-hmm.
and he just keeps on going. And everyone else is like not struggling, but we all like, when do we have the next day off? And he's like, what do you want? You know.
For me, it's much better to do more shows in a row. Let's say 4 or 5, mm-hmm. and then have a day off. then instead of having 2 day off, 3 and day off, it's like a muscle, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
No, I get that. Well, you know, I was just one other thing I was going to mention is I talked to other vocalists and they're like, yeah, we have to down tune now because I can't hit that note. Or if I can't hit that note in the chorus, put the mic out in the audience.
No.
He goes, the reason I do it is because I can't sing that anymore. But you don't do that.
Also very, I don't know. I mean, Stephen Kaufman, for example, he's doing my vocals since, I don't know, 81, 82, mm-hmm. you know. And he said, "Me, this is a miracle, you know. You sing the same height than what you did on Breaker, and I mean, they're really high notes. Yeah. And also, he said, now your lower range is also much better than in the old days, you know. So that means instead of going like this,
yeah,
it's getting better, you know. And that's this awesome. Is." Strange, there is something, I don't know. But, I mean, what can I say? I'm lucky, and I mean, you know, a lot of people already are asking, oh, when you want to retire or something like that. For what? Yeah. I mean, as long as I'm healthy, my voice is working, still we can tour the world. So, well, I'm sitting home and drink coffee now.
That's awesome. Well, last question. You mentioned there's a new Udio record ready. Can you give us a little taste of what we can expect?
Well, we don't want to say too much, but it's definitely like always, and I think that is also very unique for UDO. We always go in with, like, there's no approach from us to go into the studio and say we want to recreate this record that UDO already did, because it's already there.
Right.
So we always go in fresh and just see what it is. So it will be different from Touchdown, for
yes.
sure. And there's a lot of great new stuff. Peter is now he joined us for writing the songs, mm-hmm. Which he hadn't done on Touchdown, and this brings in
also,
a very very
yeah.
new and very fresh atmosphere, and we really enjoyed writing this album. So people can definitely expect something different than from the last record, and it's going to be very interesting. And,
yeah, interesting
yeah.
stuff on there.
Yeah.
But that's always good, you know. It's always like when a new album is coming out, you know. I mean, it's always the same. Some people say, yeah, the last one was much better. Yeah. It's, you want to have always the same.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it's more interesting to do something different. Not completely different, but, you know, not like, I think Touchdown was a little bit more modern and more heavy.
Yeah,
and
love,
this
yeah.
one is also heavy, but different. I cannot really explain it, you know. It's a
it's
really
a little
good
bit more back to the roots, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. More classic stuff, a lot of melodies again, which we had on Touchdown as well. But there's also quite some speedy songs on there,
yeah.
but also some very groovy stuff. So it's a whole bunch of cool things. And also there will be a surprise on that record that I think nobody will expect to hear, which I don't want to say any further, but I don't want to say any more, but
awesome.
People will
That's
find
good.
Out.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, Udo, I want to thank you for coming back on the Ragman Show, but before I let you, or we let the people go, is there anything you'd like to tell your fans out there?
Yeah, what can I say? Tell you to the fans? I mean, we are really happy to be here, and definitely we try to do our best on stage, and hopefully they're singing. Clapping hands, and enjoy the show.
Awesome. Well, guys, catch Dirk Schneider in your town, country, wherever you are. These guys rock live. We can't wait to see him tonight at Hell's Heroes. But before we let you go, Dustin, Sven, and Udo are going to do something very special for you.
Horns up! Don't wanna read between the lines. I know what's good, I know what's fine. I know what makes me feel just right. Don't wanna have an endless fight. And I know what's right. I know what's right. And I know what's wrong. I give as good as I get.